I mean, when you think about it, the on-market deals, those people already want to sell. If you can find a way where you can create a lot of value by doing that lot split or something else, it can be a real win-win. Yeah, I've got a couple of deals that we're working on right now or we're under contract to buy or we recently purchased that were on-market deals, and the numbers just make sense. So I think it's really viable. Moving forward, I'm going to try to find a lot more of those.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit turningprofit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit Podcast. It's so great to be here once again. And today I have two very special guests on the Turning Profit Podcast. And if you are at all involved in the land investing business, you might have heard their names or see them online somewhere. I've got Mary and Ann Danielson with us today. It's great to have you guys here. And we were just talking before we started recording that this is, you know, I feel like I already know you guys, but this is the first time we've actually talked on a video or live in any way. So first of all, great to have you here. So I think it would be a great place to start. You guys have kind of a unique way of approaching the business and everything. So I think it would be great to have you guys start and tell us about kind of your background in the land investing business and what you're all about.
So I'm Anne, and I'm the older sister. So that's why I usually do kind of get a little bossy and go first. Mary and I are sisters, and we got started, I think like a lot of flippers actually, during COVID. And so I am currently in Manila, Philippines, and I was then as well. And so we had a really super strict lockdown. And so I was allowed to walk only on the block in front of my house for an hour a day. And so when I went out, I would just walk back and forth and back and forth and listen to podcasts and things. And my husband and I already do some single family stuff. So I kind of started like a lot of people also with bigger pockets. And then there was a host on the podcast that was talking about land investing. And then I kind of connected to Mary and my upbringing in Wisconsin and our own family and how land has played a role kind of in our history. And then I also connected to the fact that I've now lived overseas for 25 years. And so it seemed a lot more good for just an overseas remote type of jobs without having, because we do have tenants and toilets and all those things, and they do cause us trouble. So land just sits there. And so that I thought, okay, this seems kind of like a good fit for Mary and me. And then I studied some more. I asked Mary to do some reading and see if she liked it. And then I called her and said, do you want to do this partnership thing? And we've never done anything before in our lives together.
Yeah, I know how it can be with siblings and family and everything. And sometimes it's tough, but I just get the picture that you guys get along pretty well and make this work pretty well.
Yeah, we do for the most part. Yeah, I mean, I was excited for the opportunity. I was kind of lost. We had just moved from Wisconsin to Colorado, and I had closed down my business during COVID back home and was kind of like, what am I going to do now? And there's like no buses here. So it really allows me some flexibility and freedom and money and, you know, just to learn something new for me. I really was lost. So I'm super thankful that Anne asked me to do it. And we really kind of just learn as we go. And it's great, I guess, when you're 45 and lost to be like, oh my God.
It's part of life, right? You go through those periods where you got to kind of like, you know, reinvent yourself or go in a new direction, have a new focus. I think that keeps things interesting.
I'm very thankful for just what we're doing and seriously just learning and growing every day.
Did you guys start with an official training program or something like that? Or did you, which one did you start with?
We started with Land Academy, and I think that was in 2021. As soon as we kind of got the hang of it and we understood the gist of it, then we springboarded into just consuming everything. I really I'm a teacher by trade, and I actually still have my full-time job as an international art teacher, actually. But I love studying and I love learning. So I just listened to every podcast, and I got hooked with Seth at RE Tipster and the Casual Fridays guys. And then one just kind of led to another. And I just dug in and listened to every single thing that I could to learn as much so that we could also find a model that was ours. Because every single group or program has their way, right? And so we just needed to find the best fit for us. And I think we've been really true to that from the beginning of like, what is the best fit for Mary and me?
Yeah, that's great. So when did you do your first deal?
That summer. So we got started, I think, in April with our training. And actually, I was at Mary's house when we got the first call. And that was fun because it was in Denver. And it was, you know, that was when we finally, you know, sealed the deal and got the contract and decided, yeah, we're going to buy it. We shouldn't have bought it, but we did.
Hindsight's 2020.
I think it was like a buy for 22, sell for 27 or something like that, wasn't it, Mayor? Crazy boundaries. And it was in Kentucky and the county had no data. And it was like.
I've got one of those in Kentucky right now that I still own.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exciting. I can remember the first beat I got, you know, and, you know, it's just kind of fun reminiscing about those things. But you didn't lose money, sounds like, on that deal. And it probably taught you some things, right?
It actually, we say to like to this day, that's the only deal that we didn't have boots on the ground to walk the property before we purchased it. And that was the lesson learned. And we really did learn it. We always, always, always have a broker, an agent or a owner or somebody on the property, even before we open title most times.
Yeah, that's such a big part of it. I'm a big believer in that too. And because you see it on a computer screen, you get an idea of what the property's worth. And you know, you guys have got a lot of experience with this now, and I feel like I do too. And it, you know, sometimes you're just a little off of what it actually looks like in person as compared to what you're thinking it looks like. And sometimes things show up on site that don't really show up in those, you know, in those satellite images too. So
for sure. We've had piles of tires. We've had squatters.
Yeah, I had one of those, which I thought had great road access, but really the road access was this rock wall that like wrapped all around the property. So like no way to actually get into the property. And I actually sent a photographer out to the property and he had notes about that, but I didn't pay attention to it, I guess. Live and learn, I guess. So that first year, did you then start to really pick up on things? Did you do more deals than that one? And how did things progress from there?
It wasn't very much longer before we did our first subdivide. Actually, we had a great opportunity because there was a seller who didn't like using the phone, and Mary was able to correspond with her like in literally like handwritten cursive letters. And so we landed on a property that was beautiful in terms of road access. And it kind of looked like a fan in a good way with all, you know, everything, tons of road access. And we thought, wait a second, we think we can split this. And I think that was our third deal. And that's, I think ever since that's just become, well, our favorite for sure. We preferred subdivides and we do simple flips. But as soon as we got a taste of those, we knew that that was something that we really enjoyed and it was profitable and not very complicated.
Yeah, the lot splits are, I'm a big fan of those as well. I mean, it just is, it makes a lot of sense. You're kind of creating value when you do those lot splits. So a lot of times the seller can get a price maybe closer to what they were expecting and you can create some value and everyone kind of wins in the deal.
Absolutely.
All right. So you told me about your first deal and kind of the one that next one that kind of started working out. What was your best deal that you guys have ever done?
Celebrity property, Mary? Peggy Sue?
I was going to say, we might have different like opinions here. But I think that celebrity property, Peggy Sue was like, what was it? What did we buy for? I think we bought for 75, sold for 175, and it sold in 3 days. No brainer. And like literally the guy was like, yep. And then I listened to his story for probably an hour about how what's his name? The guy who sings Peggy Sue lives there and it's celebrity land and it's all the things. And he just went talking and I was like,
it was the drummer of the Crickets. The drummer of the Crickets.
Thank you. The drummer of the Crickets. And there was like ghosts or something. I mean, he went on and on and I said, this sounds like land I got to have. And then we sold it and was like happy to sell it. It was, I mean, it was easy.
Yeah.
It was the easiest, quickest.
It was easy. Here's the purchase agreement. Sent it in the mail the next day. Like, it, like textbook.
That's amazing.
Never going to happen again.
Yeah. Don't say that. It will. It'll probably have many like that over time. But like that's really cool, though. And it's fun to have those where it just like everything works out great. So did it actually like close like pretty quickly, like the resale side of things? Like, you know, like.
Yeah. So actually, it even had some more benefits. It was a 7-acre property, but it was already split into 2 3.5s. So we were ready to also just use the separate APNs and list them separately. But that's also when we met our favorite broker of all time. And he listed it both ways. And then one buyer bought the two together. So it had a lot of things going for it. And then it also introduced us to a broker that we've worked with on, I don't know, probably 15 deals or something since.
Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
That's amazing. And so that was one of your earlier deals too, that it sounds like this Peggy Sue celebrity deal.
Yeah, it's been probably 2.5 years or something, but that one definitely sticks out.
And doesn't it make all the difference when you find a good broker like that, that you can rely on, that knows their stuff and great local knowledge, and then actually gets things sold for you? Isn't that cool?
It's so cool. And actually, I think that's a huge reason too, Mary and I stick to just the state of Tennessee. And I would say even within Tennessee, we sort of have like 3 regions where we are. And within those hubs, we do have a broker that we know and trust in them. And so the relationships definitely deepen. And then now we know who our surveyors are. We know who our perk guys are. We know who they aren't as well.
I
agree with you, Pete, that the relationships make a huge difference. Actually, the deal that we've just started a new subdivide. It hasn't closed yet, but it was an on-market deal, and it fell through because the buyer didn't sell their house. And so the seller was already quite, you know, anticipating the sale and had plans for the money. And so a broker that we do have a relationship called and said, I think if you guys are ready with cash, that you could get a pretty good deal on this property and it's going to make a great split. And so that's our first on market purchase. And he was right. And so there's no way that we would be doing this deal as well without the relationship that we have with a broker.
Yeah, that's too cool. Yeah, I've gotten a number of those like that too. And just simply because of relationships, and the agents bring the deals, and you know, there are lots of ones work the best they seem to, you know, like with the on market stuff. But I feel like there's a lot of opportunities to be had there with on market deals. So that's cool that you guys are doing that.
Yeah,
now, I wanted to ask you.
Closed off to them at first. I mean,
what did you say?
You were a little bit closed off to the on market deals.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, okay, yeah, he just, you know, or they just want to sell this property. But then truthfully, he was so helpful in that, like, go with cash. And I think they'll take pretty much, and you can get it for way less than what their offer was. So I'm happy that we kind of took the plunge there.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, when you think about it, you know, the on-market deals, those people already want to sell. And, you know, if you can find a way where you can create a lot of value by doing that lot split or something else, it can be a real win-win. So yeah. I've got a couple of deals that we're working on right now, or we're under contract to buy, or we recently purchased that were on market deals, and the numbers just make sense. So I think it's really viable moving forward. I'm going to try to find a lot more of those. So then you don't have to spend as much money on mail that way.
Exactly. Well, and yeah. I think for us, Mary and I are so lean that we really mail very little, and we are open to doing, you know, deals that come to us in different ways because it frees us up in terms of time and money. And so she has a lot of stuff to do with her kids. I have stuff to do with my kids and jobs and travel and things. And so if we don't have a lot of employees and we don't have a lot of mail and we can keep things simple and a little bit local for us, it's the quality, you know, of our lifestyle business pretty much.
So I want to ask, how do you guys break up the roles between you guys?
It's very, very clear cut, actually. The only time that we run into trouble is when I step out of bounds.
You don't do that, do you?
So I always regret it every time. I do everything that's on the computer. So anything that is writing up contracts or data or mail or anything on the school platform, like web presence, is me. And Mary does everything, and asynchronous tasks, obviously, since I'm in a terrible time zone. And then Mary's everything that is answering the phones in real time with real people. That's Mary.
Do you have many arguments between you two?
No.
That's great.
We really don't, because we do trust each other, and we don't really know what the other person does. So that's perfect. I mean, we always say, like, we stay in our lanes, but it's very natural for us with our personalities. And just, I think there are times that Mary will understand the deal better than me, because I just see the numbers in the spreadsheet, and then she knows the person and their motivation and their timeline. And so sometimes I'll push the deal and say, like, this is the one that we want. And then she'll say, and they are not selling yet, they need time. And then I just know, okay, you know, put it on the back burner or check in with them in a little while, but just trust that she knows, you know, the sellers and their life circumstance or their situation. So
how about when you were younger? When you guys were younger, did you get along pretty well growing up?
No.
No?
We never got along until now. I was a very bossy big sister, I would say. And so, I just...
You're schooler, and I didn't agree. I didn't just let her have it that she would be like, oh, maybe I should like her. I was like, you're really not that cool, you know. Yeah, I mean, we didn't fight. She was a good big sister. She was just a big sister.
Yep.
She always looked out for me.
But at that point, when you were growing up, you probably could never fathom that you would be in business together, I guess.
No.
I hear stories like that sometimes, you know, like you hear people talking about that. Well, I didn't really get along with my siblings. But then, you know, when everyone's adults, that the dynamic really changes and you can understand each other a little better. And it's, you know, you're not so close, and, you know, and just things change. So that's cool that you guys have been able to make it work, you know.
Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting-edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. Streamline and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com. to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success.
Brought us closer together for sure, because I think now we talk every day, whereas before we might talk once every couple of weeks and, you know, small talk about the kids and work or whatever. And then, but now we talk every day and it's great.
Are there any other siblings?
Nope, the two of us.
Just the two of you guys. Okay.
And the husbands play no role. So neither of them have an iota of interest. And so they stay out of land completely.
Yeah.
We say that land is the other man.
Yeah. We sneak away to talk about land.
Yeah.
When we're supposed to be on a date with our husband.
You know, it's funny. It's funny how land can be so consuming of all your thoughts, you know, and like, it's, you know, it's your business, but also kind of a hobby in a way, at least it is for me. And other guys are into, you know, watching football or something like that, but I'd rather look at deals, you know? So it's kind of, right. Kind of interesting. Have you had any like weird stories that have come up? You know, land business is kind of interesting, you know, like weird situations come up and things. Have you had any weird stories that kind of come to your mind about like something at a property or anything that's been unusual that you can highlight for me?
I mean, there's been so many weird things. I feel like almost every deal does have something a bit strange about it, wouldn't you say? I do think that the strangest one was a deal that we were funding, and there was a squatter on the property. And then when the squatter was approached, she said, okay, I didn't make it to my squatter rights, like number of years, so I'm ready to pay for the property. What's the price? And she paid a full cash.
Wow. Really? Cash for the property. Your squatter is your buyer. That's amazing.
With the buyer. I think that's the weirdest.
We're interested in the land.
Yeah.
I never thought about that strategy. You could just try to pick up squatter properties and then, you know, resell to the squatters. And they actually had the money to buy it?
She was running a business off the data on her phone, and she had built like a little tiny house that was a bit hidden inside of it was a big property. And yeah, she was ready to roll with the cash. She was just kind of playing the game and hoping that she didn't have to. I wish I could meet her actually.
Yeah. That's so interesting. That's funny. That's a good one. Yeah. Squatters, you know, with our community, which you guys are such a big part of, you know, we have different levels based off of how many points you accumulate by, you know, interactions within the community and things. And the first level everyone starts is a squatter. So you guys are well beyond that with all your activity in the community, but
thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess that's another business model. You could be a squatter and just hope to make it. You can have the property. It depends on the state, right? You can research squatters' rights, figure out how many years you've got to live there unnoticed, and then there you go.
Yeah, You know, I've never really thought about that a lot, but I guess a lot of states probably do have rules like that on the books where you're there a certain number of years, and then it's just, you know, they let you go and you own it at some point. So probably should pay attention to that.
No startup costs.
Yes. Switching gears a little bit about the community, you know, we've got our land conquest community, and you guys are always at the top of like the interaction and everything like that. And I just want to say thanks, because all the interaction that you guys do there and questions you answer for other community members, I think, are just so valuable. And I really never got the chance to tell you how much I appreciate it. You know, in person like this, not in person, but as close as we can get right now. But so I do thank you. Do you guys actually enjoy like interacting in the community and everything?
I do like it a lot. And I like that the different platforms and schools have personalities. And I feel like your community has a really warm, kind, polite group of
people. Try to keep it that way.
Yeah. And I do appreciate it. So, I mean, I'm a teacher, and so I like sharing what I know, and I like connecting with new people. And I feel like it's just a really lovely place for learners and for more experienced people to connect. So it's I really do like it. Actually, I usually my replies come on my phone when I'm in the car, so it's on my commute. So if I reply more, there's just heavy traffic in Manila, and I have more time on my phone. But we've actually benefited a great deal too. We've met some really cool people, and we've partnered on some deals through it as well. So we get to say thank you to you, Pete. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And that was going to be my follow-up question. Have you made any great connections in the community and done business with any of the community members? And
We have. And actually, I even over the summer, one was just a personal connection, because he was working in Madison, Wisconsin, which is our home and where our summer house is. And he said, can I just meet you for a cup of coffee? Because he's a land investor and he feels really lonely. And he didn't know that there was another one in Madison. And so it was just, that was really nice too. You know, if you're working on it alone and you don't have your sister in the business, I'm sure it can feel really isolating at times. So I think it's cool.
Now, by the way, I have to bring this up. You mentioned Madison. We actually own a property in Baraboo, and I'm sure you're familiar with where that's at. It is land, but there's also cabins on there. It's like a motel type property with 18 mini cabins on it. So we've owned it for a couple of years, had this like big plan that we were going to fix all these the cabins up and everything, and then, you know, get it up and running and then probably resell the property or something like that. We went through a lot of, jumped through a lot of hoops and had some real struggles finding contractors and everything in the area. So ultimately we decided to kind of like focus only on our land stuff and resell it. So if you happen to know of anyone that is looking for a motel property in Baraboo, Wisconsin, I will give them a great deal. So,
you know what? Your timing is really funny because this morning I just got a message from a guy on X that was saying he's in Madison and he wondered if I was doing work in Wisconsin. And then I said, oh, I'm just Tennessee. And then he was talking to me about his setup. So I don't know the guy.
But okay.
I'm happy to send you.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'll send you the information about it. So,
all right. Yeah. I think I might have heard you mention it on one of your episodes.
Yes. Yes. I did mention it before, you know, like, you know, we were hemming and hawing. Should we sell it? Should we invest some effort into it and actually get it fixed up and do everything that needs to be done? And then we just, every time we really analyze it, we're like, it's just not what we do. And I tend to get distracted on some of these other projects sometimes. And then in hindsight, I'm always like, you know, I just should have focused on what we do and not, you know, get sidetracked on these other projects. So I think it's something that it's a really cool project, but it's got to be something where someone's probably local to there would do best with it and put the actual effort into it that it deserves. So, but really cool area. I love it. I love it up that way. We visited Wisconsin Dells 1 year in the fall, and that was like one of our favorite trips ever. I just thought it was such a cool place.
Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours.
Wisconsin and fall is the best.
So we also did a deal together through the Partner with Pete program, a partner deal together with you guys. Now this deal didn't end up being like a home run deal or anything like that. Ended up being profitable, which is, sometimes you have great deals like that Peggy Sue deal that you were talking about. And sometimes you have ones that are kind of barely profitable, but I always try to minimize, I try not to lose money. And anytime we make money on a deal, I am happy. So this particular deal, I wrote down the numbers here, so that's what I'm looking down. The purchase price on it was $26,382. And I think initially we were kind of thinking like maybe we could resell it for like $60,000 or something like that. I think off the top of my head, that's what we were thinking. We ended up in total had this property in inventory for 286 days. So was that a little over 9 months, something like that, which is longer than we, you know, normally shoot for or whatever. But the weird thing with this one was that it was getting so much activity on the MLS. Like it had so many views and so many saves, and we kept on checking in with the agent and she was like, yeah, you know, get a bunch of calls when no one's serious and all that kind of stuff. So ultimately, we kept on reducing. We eventually got a buyer at $44,900. Along the way, I think we invested about $1,500 in brush clearing to clean up the property a little bit. So at the end of the day, after the dust settled, ended up being about $8,000 total profit, which, you know, part of the funding program is a 50-50 split on the profit. So I'm assuming then you guys probably split your half of the profit. So it didn't make any of us rich, but it was a good deal, you know, just because it was profitable and, $8,000 profit is nothing to sneeze at. So,
and I can tell you what we did with ours.
Oh, okay.
We used it for the Airbnb in Tennessee. We took our families and we just had some fun with it. So
that's amazing.
We don't actually do fund money. So that was our fund money.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that's really cool. Well, hopefully that will be some experiences you always remember. So
for sure. And actually the lesson in that property, I think, is one for all of us. And I think we've all learned it since then as well, that topography is real. So I think in that phase of our, you know, land journey as well, we did not discount, meaning abort mission, abandon properties that are severely steep. And I think, as I remember, that property had like kind of a cute cove and it was level, but then behind it was literally like a cliff or something. Yeah. So I think what we were thinking too is, oh, okay, it's kind of neat. You're nestled into this little spot, but maybe, I mean, since we never visited, in reality, it was a little different. So
And that's the thing, like the photographer report that we got from the property was not very extensive. He didn't walk onto the property, I think, as much as we liked them to and stuff like that. But I'm glad we did it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, hopefully the next one will be infinitely more profitable if you guys decide to partner with us again. So I know we've been talking for a long time now, and I appreciate all your time. I guess, you know, the only question I have left is kind of like, where do you see your business going over the next year and also maybe over the next 5 years?
I think it won't be so long until Mary may relocate to Tennessee, which would actually be a really big asset for us as a team. But she has to just take into account her family and their life circumstances and hockey and volleyball mostly. And then I think we'll definitely, as long as we can, we'll stay just in Tennessee because it's been really good to us and we like what we have built there. I think we'll continue to do subdivides in the upcoming year, maybe even this year. We need to pay more attention to owning some longer term assets that we can have some depreciation on, because we did have a tax hit this year that was a little bit alarming. And so I think we just have to get a little bit smarter and more strategic in some of our investments. So maybe that will look like property like you were talking about with cabins on it, or maybe...
That'll be some great depreciation for you, some great accelerated depreciation.
Well, it's not that one at Baraboo. Okay, Pete. Nice try. But I think probably we'll need to consider a little bit of that. And then hopefully too, we can bring in some of our other family members. You know, our kids are getting older and they're learning and they're working in the business. And that's also kind of exciting for us. So.
Oh, you know, and that leads me to, I lied. That was going to be my last question, but you mentioned your family and your girls, and they've expressed some interest in the land business, huh?
They have, mostly because they like flexibility to do what they want. And so they prefer like tanning and getting coffees with their friends and then doing work, you know, when it's convenient for them. And also because they live between countries, it's not that easy for them to, you know, be a lifeguard somewhere because we're on the move a lot. So the remote aspect of land has been really good for them. And they've learned, I mean, they did, when it was free, the land conquest program, and they do comp properties for us, and they do the market research and keep it up to date, you know, every 3 months. I don't know that we need to do it that often, but they need money and I don't want to give it to them for free. So they do quite a lot now. Yeah, it's neat.
Well, that's super cool. That's really cool. And how old are they?
16 and 17.
Cool. And they're comping properties and doing market research. That's cool.
They are. They're really good on the computer, and usually they're just motivated to make some money so they can go do their thing. So they'll do what it takes to.
That's great. Are they talking about like doing their own deals at some point?
Yeah, I think actually they're both going into international business. That's a good fit for them. One daughter is fluent in Chinese because she grew up in Shanghai and she's maintained it. I know that she's kind of heading in that direction. And then the other one, the younger sister, just kind of likes what the older sister likes. And so, they're both kind of heading in that direction. So time will tell.
Well, so cool. I've taken enough of your guys' time. I really appreciate the, the call today. And I'm kind of excited to follow all that you guys do. And I know that we'll stay in touch in the community and everything. And looking forward to hopefully partnering on some more deals in the future.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So great actually meeting you guys on video here. It's been a true pleasure, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Pete. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.